Hello, hello! You are listening to CPA Career Path Podcast with Rosie Flaherty, CPA MSA. This is episode number 21. We have a special guest today, the President and CEO of CarCPA, Dennis Froemming. Hi, Dennis. Thank you so much for the interview today. We have President and CEO of CarCPA for our podcast and YouTube interview today.
I'm so great to be here with you, Rosie. You have so much energy. So I'm here to bring as much energy as you have. Just grateful to be here.
You're amazing. No, I love your energy. Whenever I see you, I'm just so happy whenever at any CarCPA event. You're just always so like positive and big smile. It's just awesome.
I'm just reflecting you, Rosie. You have tons of energy. So I get it from you too. Thank you.
Thank you. So for the purpose of the interview today, we want to discuss about your career path. And I would love to start from the beginning, back in college. Why did you decide to go with accounting, not any other majors?
So I actually kind of, I think people have said this before, they fell into it. I fell into it. So I was going to down the health career path, and the program I was choosing was closed. So my mom said, "You're so good at math. Just go be an accountant." And I said, "Okay, that's what I'm going to do." And I started down that path, and I found that I really loved the analytical piece of accounting. And to me, it was always like a puzzle. And I was trying to find the different pieces of the puzzle and make sense of really what the bigger picture was. So as I started to go down the path, I just really found that it fit with me and who I am. And the more I talked to individuals out there and CPAs, they say too, it just spoke to them in a way that other career paths didn't. And so I just fell into it and loved it ever since.
So you say that you're good at math, and a lot of people saying that I choose accounting because I'm good at math. And then people say you do not need to be good at math to do accounting.
I think, yes, that's a great point. I think a lot of people, back when I chose my career, they thought, oh, it's math, right? It's just, it's numbers, but it really isn't. And we always say the most important skill that you need is communication and relationship building, right? So that's key, but you have to understand kind of the analytical piece. So how it all fits together. And then you have to tell that story. So I think sometimes people think math because numbers, but it clearly, the way that AI is integrating with everything we do, it's definitely moving more towards an analytical and telling the story. And that to me is really important and much more intriguing than just doing, you know, when we did ledgers. It's different now, and it's a lot more exciting and engaging as a profession.
I agree. I feel like I love Excel, and now you have Excel. You do not need to be good at math anymore because Excel can do all of that for you, all that calculation. And then especially now with AI, our technologies make it so much easier for you to do accounting work so you can focus on something else. For example, telling story. I love that. Telling story is super important. It says everything.
It's really important. And When I was overseeing the tax and accounting area at the College of American Pathologists, I'd always say anyone can look at a financial statement and they can tell you what numbers are up or down or, you know, the changes, but no one really knows the story. So go out to your areas, talk to clients and really understand their business, because then you can help tell the story to them, right? Through the numbers and through what you're seeing in your lens. So it's much more attuned to that than it is just the pure numbers. And to me, that speaks to me because I love that. It excites me. I always say it's like your spreadsheets and your numbers are like a Monet painting, right? Because it brings it all together in something that's beautiful. It's kind of strange, but I always think of it that way.
You know, it feels like accounting is more personality now than just numbers, because before people say accountants with just like big glasses on and then just like no personalities at all and then just focusing on numbers and then papers and then just boring. Now it's just a different time. I feel like now it's more about like, oh, you need to show your personality, show you, not showing the numbers. You need to show you to see the numbers. So I'm wondering, if is that one of the requirements to be a good accountant at this time for young people? What do you think, if any other requirements could be?
Definitely the communication piece and being able to communicate. I'm reading this book. I would encourage any of you to read it. It's Smart Brevity. And it helps with being clear and concise in your writing. And it talks in there about speaking, you know, writing like a human, not writing. And, you know, some of us use ChatGPT now because it really helps. But you really want to write, like you said, Rosie, you want your authentic who you are to come out in what you're doing and how you deal with individuals, how you talk to clients, how you talk to other business leaders. So for me, that having your authentic self be able to really speak more loudly than it used to in the past, to me is really one piece of the profession that I love. And it's also being curious. So I think you really need, would encourage, ask questions, be curious, because you have to see if you see something that doesn't make sense. You want to be able to, you know, find out why. There's always that why. And I know, you know, when you have kids, for all of you that have children, sometimes you think, gosh, they're asking me why again. It's why. But it's really important to ask that why. And then you can really dig more into that story and what's there. Right. And so it's important. There's another good book I love to read. So I read a lot, is by Simon Sinek, the book Why. And I would encourage you to read it because anyone who's out there, it just helps you get the bigger picture of why you're doing something than looking at, like you said, just all the different pieces of it, and helps you make sense of it. So I would say ask questions, be curious, communicate, and just love what you do, right? You love what you do, Rosie. I can see it every day. When you just are excited and you have energy, you've got to love what you do and have that passion there. A lot of CPAs do. If you ask them, they'll say, I'm making businesses' dreams come true. What better world is there to be in than if you can help businesses' dreams come true, right?
Yeah, I agree. I love what I'm doing right now. That makes a huge difference, because you're not going to work just get a job done. Each work I finish is just like my baby day. I want to make it perfect, the best that I can. And then if something wrong with that, I say, oh no, it's not that good. I can make it better next time. So yes, I enjoy every single second I'm working on what I'm doing right now. So that's amazing. You did mention about CPA. And I want to bring up about CPA, because being an accountant and being a CPA, it looks like the same but not the same. And so as being a CPA, what made you decide to be a CPA instead of just being a regular accountant?
For me, it was the credibility and really being part, I'm using the quotes, like an elite group, right? When I was in my classes, you know, a lot of times they would say, you know, you have to be the ethical voice. You have to have that integrity. And I remember sitting in one of my law classes and they said, it's the difference. It's fact and appearance, right? So it's ethics on both sides. And to me, that meant something different than just it's ethics in the facts, right? Okay. Everybody sees what the facts are and they know, okay, this is the ethical, well, most everyone, this is the ethical path to take. But when they said appearance, that to me brought another level to the ethics and integrity by speaking to how does it look? And if it doesn't look right, it's not right. Right. So to me, I thought, oh, if I can try to just have that in the world that I move into, and if I can stand for that, that to me was something different, kind of like being a doctor or a lawyer. I was going to be a CPA and have that integrity and that trust that, you know, maybe other professions don't always have, right? You trust your doctor. You trust when you go to an attorney that they're going to give you the best advice. When you go to a CPA, you trust they're going to give you that. That's why we say trusted advisor. They're going to give you that advice that isn't tainted necessarily by their personal opinion, but it's really what's best for you because they listen to what you need. They listen to where you're at. So that just spoke to me. And I thought I'm going to be held up as, you know, a real professional in the business world. And so that's why I did it. And I'm glad I did, because I'm very proud of having my CPA.
Yes. I'm very proud of being a CPA too.
Yes.
You mentioned about trust. This is really important, because your clients trust you, your family, your friends trust you, trust your advice, what you want to tell them. Now moving, talking about trust, I'm wondering how you build your trust throughout your career from being a senior accountant to become a manager, to become a CEO and CFO. What was the most challenge for you through that time period?
I think it's really trying to connect, kind of in that trust. So how do you connect with what your, it's not clients, but your businesses, those that you are supporting? How do you make sure that you really understand what their needs are and are transparent with them? Because they're trusting your advice, right? Like you said. So it's really trying to be clear with what their needs are so that you can meet their needs. So that kind of that needs and wants. And I would say too, listening really and communicating clearly. You've got to listen and try to connect the dots. I think that's the hardest part when you go from I was a senior director of accounting and tax, and then I moved into the CFO role, COO and CEO. And to me, it's really trying to make sure that you're always representing the right information to help them to get to that next level. And also having confidence in yourself, right? I think sometimes that's difficult to, you know what you're talking about, but you have to make sure that you also exude that confidence when you're having conversations and connect the dots for them. So when you're a senior director, you have more of the dots and you don't connect as many. But as you move into those leadership positions, you really need to see the bigger picture and be able to connect it for those individuals that you're supporting, right? Like clients. You see, if you're doing the taxes, you see all the pieces, but how do you connect those dots and say, well, when I'm looking at planning, here's what I'm seeing, and I'm connecting those for you. And I think that's the piece that everyone needs to remember as they move up through leadership. How do you connect those for those individuals you're supporting? Because they are relying on you, and you have to make sure that you can meet their needs, right? So I think that's the piece that's the biggest challenge, is moving through and connecting those.
So when you're talking about connecting the dots, you mentioned a lot about clients. How about people you manage? How about your staff? Do you have any issues about that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because they rely on you also to connect those dots to help them to get to where they need to go and be successful. And I always say leadership is a privilege. It's a privilege and an honor. And if you're in a position like that, you have to make sure that you are doing what's best for the team you're leading, right? So making sure that you can help see the vision for them and help them to get to where they need to go, that's really important and key. Because if someone doesn't see the bigger picture, I'll just give you an example. There was a story about a man who was, he worked at NASA, and he was a janitor. And someone had asked him, you know, what are you doing? What's your job? And he said, my job is to put a man on the moon. He understood the connecting of the dots. He understood where they were trying to go. And he felt his job was so important and critical. He was trying to put a man on the moon, right? That's what you need to do as a leader and as a visionary, is make your team understand where you need to go to help them be as successful as they can be. I think that's a really good story.
That's a very good story to share. And also, it's very difficult to work with staff a lot of times as well, because training staff is one of the most challenging jobs, I feel like, because you have to not just only show them what the right work that should be, but you also need to show them, motivate them, encourage them, and also saying that when they do wrong, you need to be very patient. That's my point is of patience here. It's not easy, especially for new staff. They are smart, they are hardworking, but they just don't get the concept yet. How can you manage your patience when you're dealing with staff?
I think first you have to remember that you were there too, right? And so it's important to put yourself a lot of times in others' shoes. So you were there too. See, I think you have to step back. I always step back and take a breath. I think breathing is key to say, okay, take a breath, you know, reset, sometimes resetting. So where are we going? What are we trying to do? And then looking at the bigger picture of the outcome, right? Or the impact. I think if you can do that and see, and both together say, where are we going? What's the impact we want to make? And then outlining together that path. I think that's important because you're a partner, right? And you need a partner to move forward. But it's a lot of times you got to take that breath. I did that when I was raising my son too. You need to always, to get that patience, you need to take a breath, right? And take a beat, sometimes we say, and then regroup, reset, and then move forward. I think that's how you get the patience. It's very hard because the world is moving so fast. And so how do you make sure that you don't move that fast too, so that you disenfranchise or lose people? You don't want to lose good people, right? And so you just, sometimes you got to take a breath and reset. That would be my advice.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's not easy. And the world is moving very fast, especially with technology right now. And a lot of people, they're concerned about technology, concerned about AI, ChatGPT, and everything. From your viewpoint, what do you think about how this profession is going to be affected by technology in the future?
Well, I think there's a lot of positive with technology. There's an opportunity, like you said, to automate. You can automate so much of what you do. So now there's not a need to, you know, do all the calculations or to do the general ledger entries. You can do more on the analytical side. So to me, that's much more interesting, sitting there doing the routine tasks, right? Can you go to a next level and you're more strategizing and looking at the bigger picture? So a lot of positives. I think too, from the AI side, it's going to open up a whole nother business line, right? Service line for firms and for us as CPAs, because you think about AI and the information that's coming in. If you audit, is it credible? Can we rely on it? How do we make sure that we position that information so that there's understanding of it? There's bias in the information. There's hallucinating. I mean, we say ChatGPT is hallucinating. It just doesn't really give you the full answer because it doesn't know, right? So how do we make sure CPAs can help with that and look at that from the AI and assurance and everything? There's so many pieces from that perspective. So there's a lot of opportunity, I think, for us. The key, I would say, is you don't get left behind, is to make sure you lean into technology. So if you don't understand it, ask. Test, see what it's about, talk to mentors, but don't get left behind, because if you don't understand it and you just think it's going to go away, it's not, right? The internet didn't go away. TVs didn't go away. The computer didn't go away. It took hold and then it goes like hockey stick up, right? It goes so fast because it's exponential growth. So, you know, lean into it, see what you can do with it, and, you know, ask others. I always ask those that are younger than I am, you know, because they know, sometimes it's just more intuitive. A lot of times I'll ask my son and he'll say, you can figure it out. Just do it. And I think that's not the answer, but it does help me in the long run. So I would say, just lean into it.
That's
what do you think, Rosie?
For me?
Do you think, are you leaning? Of course you are, because you're very innovative.
Well, I really like Post. I really like Excel. I love that one. I feel like it's a good opportunity for new staff to just be good at Excel. That will help you so much. And now with AI, it's make me just don't have to worry too much about make my email look fancy, because I just put in ChatGPT, make it fancy for me, put it in, and then make sure that it's right. Because that's really important, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, ChatGPT, it may not give you the right information, but that give you the good template that you make sure that you need to double check the information, make sure it's right. But I love the technology. It just make my life easier.
It does make your life easier. And you had bring up such a good point of making sure that it is true to you and true to your voice, right? If you call someone, you know, Rosie, don't put in there Miss Flattery, right? Don't do that, because you want to make it your voice and make sure that it has the essence of truth to it.
Yeah,
so that's
true, because talking about this technology now, back to your point about being authentic, it is so important now because technology is taking over so fast. And so being authentic is make it way, way more important, because now you cannot compete with technology. Only thing you can compete with is just be yourself. That's the only thing you can do.
It's true, because you're kind of that competitive advantage, right? What you see and how you interpret. And if someone wants to engage with you, right? That's a differentiator.
That's true.
It's you.
Yes. And so for the new generation, they are worried about the technology. They're worried about what's coming up may affect their career path. And so I'm wondering, for you as a viewpoint, that you're going to talk about so many college, so many presentation about these careers, what the best tips you normally give to college students about preparing themselves for this coming up changes?
I would say, like I said before, be curious and ask questions. Have a mentor. We always say mentors are great. A mentor and a sponsorship, right? So they're different. A mentor is going to help you move ahead and help guide you individually, right? Oh, you don't have this skill, you need this skill, or let's talk through maybe an issue that you're having. A mentor, I think everyone needs mentors. I would say sponsor is different, right? Because a sponsor helps sponsor you through your career. So I was very lucky. I had a number of great sponsors as I was going through my career. You can't get where you're at without others. So you've got to be talking and engaging with other individuals. But I had sponsors that would say to me, I'll help you get to that next level. You know, one story I like to tell is when I was the director of tax and accounting and strategic operations, I did a dual role. My boss, because there was nowhere really to go, we had 600 employees and he was a CFO. There was no other role. He said to me, I know you're ready. I'm going to give you job applications that I see out there, roles, and you decide if there's something that fits for you, right? So he helped get me my next role. And it wasn't in that organization. It was at a different organization. But he recognized I wanted to move ahead and he helped me get there. He was a sponsor, right? He understood. And even though it meant not being working with him, he saw the bigger picture. So you need those type of sponsors and you need mentors. So I would say, get those in your life. Make sure you do that. And then, you know, that's also building community. So important to build community out there. And that's, I don't want to give a plug for CalCPA, but I will for all associations. You need community, because like Rosie, I met you at a meeting, so much energy, vibrancy, expert. The profession is so much better because you're in it, right? So it's to have that community, because that community is going to support you when things aren't maybe going well, give you advice. So important. So I would say have that community.
I just say kudos for community. It's just so important. I cannot emphasize enough how important and how beneficial it is when you have a community. And talking about the community, it means you need to make connections. It means you need to go out for more events. And I know you would be a perfect person for me to ask about this connection, because you going out there for so many events, you have made so much connections. What tips and advice you could provide for people to start making connections and start joining the community?
Yeah, I would say, you know, everyone is so, once you get out there, I used to be, when I would walk into a room with what I didn't know anyone, I used to be petrified. Like, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? Who cares about what I have to say, right? But people are so, and now I love it. I'm just like, ooh, magnet, love it. But it's, people are great, good. They're good. They want to help. They want to see you succeed. So remember that when you go into a room, ask questions, find out why, you know, individuals love what they do. I think that's just key. So go out there and enjoy it. I mean, you enjoy it, Rosie. When you're out there, just enjoy it and embrace it and don't think so much about what you're doing. Just embrace it and feel it, right? I think that is is important because it gets past the, oh, I have to network, as I'm just going to go out there and meet as many people as I can. And for me, it's really about, I love hearing other people's stories. And I love seeing how they've accomplished what they've accomplished, because there's always a lesson in there. And I've learned so much from everyone I've engaged with. And it's really made my life richer and made me be better at what I'm doing. So I think if you approach it with that kind of lens, instead of with, I have to meet this many people, I have to talk now, just again, be curious and find, you know, find the common thread maybe with you, with someone. It's always a common thread.
Yeah, that's true. Link, find the link. That's really important.